Blog Talk Radio.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes are ripe for store. He has loosed his fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Of 100 circling camps, they have built for him an altar in the eating fields and camps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamp. His is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Figures you and me, as he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Party in the Spirit of America, a party book. Vasis los, Kimo Sabi. How you doing, boys and girls? Well, are you ready to select your insurance coverage from the Chinese menu presented by the Obama Insurance Company? What do we need insurance companies for if the government is taking it over? Why have two middlemen? Why not just eliminate the insurance companies and we'll all go to Chuck Schumer's office to get our checkups? Yeah, you don't want to do that, let me tell you. So, what are we doing tonight? Tonight we're watching Chaos rules the land. Watching Gretchen yesterday on Fox, and you know what? I went to a car dealership today, and I was sitting in the waiting room, and for the first time since I have been turned loose, Fox was the channel everybody was watching. Somebody must have come in and put it on Fox, and everybody was afraid to change. But yesterday I was watching Greta, and she had on Alan West. You know who Alan West is. He is the colonel who they tried to put in jail for fighting terrorism in the land of terrorism. He was too rough on an Al-Qaeda who knew where an IED was buried, and his men were approaching the explosion zone. And they say that he violated the rules of the Marquess of Queensberry. Man, let me tell you, I'd like to take all of his opponents and put them on the front line. Let them walk through the IED zone and see what they say about interrogations. Oh, no, you got to kill him. You got to kill him now. Cut his legs off. If he doesn't, cut his head off. And he had on a guest, if I recall, if memory serves me right, he had on, or I might be mixing this up with another talk show host who had, oh, he might have been on a Hannity show. He was on Gretchen's show by himself, and I got to tell you about this guy. He was singled out for evaporation. What they did was they gerrymandered his district so that there was no way a Republican could win. And now he's the man without a district. But he never gave up. He hangs in there. He saved the lives of at least four soldiers in Afghanistan. And for that, they wanted to put him in Fort Leavenworth and bust him down. Oh, what did he do? He took a .45 and asked the guy, where's the IED? And the guy wouldn't talk. So he fired the gun next to his ear. And then he said, where is it? And the guy still wouldn't talk. And he stuck the .45 in his groin and says, where's the IED? And the guy says, right there. It's right there. Yeah. And for that, he was reprimanded by a sissy generals. And speaking of sissy generals, I'll get into sissy generals, but right now I'm going to tell you about Alan West. He was on Sean Hannity, and he had two guests, the father and mother of a Navy SEAL that was killed from SEAL Team 6, who Leon Panetta told Al-Qaeda where they were. You know, Geraldo Rivera was in either Afghanistan or Iraq, and he was doing the show. And, you know, it's the name of the show was It's All About Me by Geraldo. And I'll never forget this. It was around the holidays. The one scene I'm referring to now was in Afghanistan. And Geraldo said, keep the camera on me, and, you know, could only do close-ups. And there was about 40 GIs, 20 on each side, and Geraldo never once took the mic and said, anybody want to give a shout home? No, it was all about Geraldo. Geraldo. And the other time I seen Geraldo, he was in Iraq, and he was, you know, keep the camera on me, and he was doodling in the sand, and he was showing troop locations and where they were and where the enemy was. And some Marine came over and whispered in his ear, wipe out the line in the sand, please, and get off the network. Yeah, because you're giving the enemy our location. Oh, Geraldo, he was there. He was fighting crime. Unbelievable. Anyway, so Colonel West and the mother and father of a Navy SEAL who was killed in the chopper crash, which some people say was a setup. I say it was a phone-ahead ambush. And the mother said that her son told her his biggest fear was getting a bullet in the back of his head from his Afghan counterpart. So that's how these boys are fighting. One hand tied behind their back, and their back available to friendly troops, the coalition of the willing, our allies. And I said the thing to do is never, never let anybody get the drop on you. If you're with 8 Afghans in your group, somebody has to always be back with a gun pointed in their direction. Somebody always has to be watching your back. And I don't care how politically correct that is not. But the guys in SEAL Team 6, they went into a trap in a CH-47, which is just a regular workhorse chopper. And I think they said it only does 55 miles per hour, whereas the combat version that you should only be used to bring troops in is the MH-47, and that does like 89 miles per hour. And they went in to this location in Afghanistan in support of Rangers that were already in the area, and they went in without any area prep. Usually before a big chopper like this lands, smaller choppers, the gun-dealing choppers go in and spray the area and make sure there's nobody around. There were two guys in a tower with RPGs waiting for this helicopter. That's why I call it a phone-ahead ambush. And you know that those guys were all cremated, and they claimed they never found the black box. I do not believe in coincidence, but I do believe in sometimes circumstances are not what they appear to be, like this healthcare thing. Oh, the good news on the healthcare thing is that you will be allowed to keep your undertaker. So, having said that, I was also talking with Jimmy from Brooklyn, who's totally despondent. He thinks that the communists have won complete control of the United States, and he covered everything. He covered the rise of crack, how it all overnight was released into the entire nation. He says never has he ever seen drugs are so successful that they would be overnight presented to the entire American population, and he believes that's the work of the communists, who believe that drug warfare is chemical warfare. So we mentioned that, and let me give you a tune, and when I come back, we'll do some more politics.
answer.
Jimmy from Brooklyn also mentioned an author of a book. His name is Jan Kozak, and his book is called Not a Shot Was Fired, and it was the Soviet takeover of Czechoslovakia. And Jimmy believes that that's the strategy for taking over the United States, and it's already in play. And he says it's easy to do. You get rid of all your opponents, and you put your own people in. And he mentioned that this Jan Kozak was scheduled to appear before Congress many moons ago, and he was opposed by Senator Bob Kerry and John McCain, and they tried to stop him. Then there's a general named Jan Sejna, and he is in a book called Red Cocaine, and if you look at the state of the nation, we're all plagued by junkies. And they're widening the junkie gap. Right now it's 1 out of 5 that are junkies, but it's soon going to go to 2 out of 5 once they legalize weed. And some of the weed is now being laced with cocaine. And what is going to happen is all the guys, all the mules that used to deliver the weed over the Rio Grande will now be working out of factories in the United States, and we'll be in competition with the government. But that's against the law. Yeah, but it was against the law before. What's the difference? They're in the same work mode. And he happened to mention, oh, I know what it was, that McCain and Kerry tried to stop this general, Jan Sejna, from talking about American POWs captured in Vietnam that were sent to Russia for drug experiments. And and also he mentioned that when we had the Mariel boat lift and we let all the Cubans in, that there were 2,000 Cuban military that also came in with the victims of Castro. And he also mentioned that guys were taking heroin because when the draft was around, so they could get out of going to Vietnam. If you tested positive for heroin, you were automatically disqualified from getting into the military. And he believes that Castro worked with the mafia. And what else here? He believes Bill Buckley destroyed the conservative movement, that Kissinger hurt us, that the Soviets shot down the flight 007. What a number for a flight that gets shot down by the Soviets. The flight 007, the Korean Airlines, because on board was a congressman named Larry McDonald, who was the head of the John Birch Society. And Jesse Helms was supposed to be on the same flight. And he believes the Soviets have gotten around mutual assured destruction by using Muslims. And that's why they're in Iran helping the Iranians go nuclear. And I see tonight that Israel flew into Syria and blew up some weapon caches. So somebody's doing their homework. I also believe that this NSA scam is to destroy the NSA and has nothing to do with personal freedom. That's the rule. The goal is to destroy our weakened intelligence capabilities. And let's see what else. So he says there's a book called The Pied Piper by John, I can't read the last name, and it's about Buckley betraying the conservative movement. And I told you he believes Kissinger played right into Chinese and Russian hands. He mentioned a lady named Frances Fox Piven, who apparently is somebody big at the Brecht Forum. He also mentioned the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C., and he believes that is totally KGB. And, of course, he believes that Barack Obama, who was tutored by Frank Marshall Davis, who was a Soviet agent and communist, had a lot of influence on Obama, and that Moscow knew every aspect of Obama's training. He was at a meeting to expose the next mayor of New York City as a communist, de Blasio, and he was disappointed in the turnout because he had called all the news outlets and nobody came. And he can't understand why Bill Ayers isn't in front of a firing squad, and when, especially after Bill Ayers said that somebody asked him, you know that there is 10 to 20% of Americans who will never convert to communism and will fight it to the end. And Ayers says he estimates them to be 30 million and that they would have to be exterminated. So we got some real worrisome stuff going on here. There's a purging of the military, which came out in Investors Business Daily yesterday. And Jimmy believes we're heading towards a dictatorship. And he also believes that we're not going to be a Soviet-style country like Sweden or France, but we are going to go to concentration camps. So, if he's right, we're in trouble. If he's wrong, it's water under the bridge. So, having said that, let me read you this little article. And this is from Investors Business Daily. Obama's military coup purges 197 officers in 5 years. Defense. What the president calls my military is being cleansed of any officer suspected of disloyalty to or disagreement with the administration on matters of policy or force structure, leaving the compliant and fearful. We recognize President Obama is the commander-in-chief and that throughout history, presidents from Lincoln to Truman have seen fit to remove military commanders they view as inadequate or insubordinate. Turnover in the military ranks is normal, and in these times of sequestration and budget cuts, the numbers are expected to tick up as force levels shrink and missions change. Yet what has happened to our officer corps since President Obama took office is viewed in many quarters as unprecedented, baffling, and even harmful to our national security posture. Anybody that's baffled is crazy. You got to know that this guy hates this country. We have commented on some of the higher profile cases, such as General Carter Ham. He was relieved as head of the U.S. Africa Command after only a year and a half because he disagreed with orders not to mount a rescue mission in response to the September 11, 2012 attack in Benghazi. You know how he was relieved? He was relieved over the phone, and he was told to hand the phone to the second in command while he was scrambling to go and help the guys that were murdered, actually left behind to die in Benghazi because it's election time and we no witnesses is good news. Rear Admiral Chuck Gawet, commander of the John C. Stennis Carrier Strike Group, was relieved in October 2012 for disobeying orders when he sent his group, his task force, on September 11th to assist and provide intelligence for military forces ordered into action by General Hamm. So the two officers in the war theater, well, one was relieved right on the spot, and the other one was told to stand down, and they got rid of him in October, 1 month later. Other removals. Now, before we go into other removals, let me tell you about the removal that bothers me. One of the most efficient and local savvy Afghan warrior was General McChrystal. And he was taken down by a reporter. I forget what outfit he was working for. The Village Voice or something, in a bar in Paris, making fun of Obama, and he was immediately relieved on the spot. This guy was a fighting general, and there's no way that I would ever be offended if he made fun of me and I was the commander-in-chief. Knowing the service that he performs, I could live with it. So he's the first casualty of the Obama purge, as is Petraeus, as is General Allen. Now, there was a scandal with General Allen, the Marine general, and there was a scandal with Petraeus, the head of the CIA, okay, and then you got McChrystal. So there's a knockoff game playing. Dominoes, that's what the communists do. They play dominoes. There's a knockoff game going on. Now, the reporter who took down McChrystal was onto something, he told his girlfriend, I think. He was onto something big. And he was worried for his life. And he was driving a fairly new Mercedes, and it automatically accelerated, and he went into a tree, and when he hit the tree, the Mercedes exploded. Yeah. That's a coincidence, right? You believe in coincidence? Yeah. How interesting. Well, so what was it he was looking into? Well, we don't know. We don't know. How about Breitbart having a glass of wine, coming out and dying of a heart attack? Yeah. Oh, that's a coincidence. How about two planes into two towers in New York City on 9-1? Oh, that's a coincidence. So, other removals include, let me see if I finished everything I was supposed to. Other removals include the sacking of two nuclear commanders, in a single week. Major General Michael Carey, head of the 20th Air Force, responsible for the three wings that maintain control of the 450 intercontinental ballistic missiles, and Vice Admiral Tim Giardina, the number two officer at U.S. Strategic Command. Wow. I wonder if Obama gets the list of names from Putin. From Breitbart.com's Facebook page comes at least 197 officers that have been relieved of duty by the President Obama for a laundry list of reasons, and sometimes with no reason given. Stated grounds range from leaving blast doors open on nukes to loss of confidence in command ability to mishandling of funds to inappropriate relationships to gambling with counterfeit chips to inappropriate behavior to low morale and troops are commanded. I'll take issue with the last one. There's no lower morale than there is in with the troops being commanded right now than those that watched the boys in Benghazi be left to die. And no attempt was even made. Nobody even watched them die. Everybody thinks Obama went to bed. How's that? What do you think? And what did Hillary say? Who cares how they died? What does it matter? Whether it was two students out for a walk. Two students. How about 50 students coming over the wall in phase one and another 50 coming over the wall in phase two and a mortar platoon setting up to take out the guys on the roof? Now, nobody's talking about survivor number three. Now, I don't know if that's a hodgepodge story or not, but I'm very jaundiced when I see headlines under, below the screen that disappear in 24 hours. And one of those headlines said there was a third survivor, one man who survived while the other two died on the rooftops, and he was on another rooftop, and he was up there for 20 hours, and he was rescued, and he was cut up pretty bad, and he was being moved around from hospital to hospital and with name changes. And I said to myself, I hope they're not looking for the hospital that has the biggest staph infections. And if it's true that he is alive and he is a witness, I call him the man in the iron mask, and he's being given a lie detector every day to determine if he's been talking to anybody. Who is holding him with a gun to his head? So if there is a witness, I'd like to know who he is. And if anybody knows, give me a holler, man. Who else we got here? Okay, we mentioned the loss of confidence. 9 commanding generals have been fired. 9 senior commanding generals have been fired by the Obama administration this year. And you know that American troops in Afghanistan are no longer considered American by this president. They're considered NATO troops. And when they die, whether they're shot in the back or by an IED, the headlines in the communist newspapers that we have here, like the New York Times and a Birdcage paper, the news is NATO troops killed, 4 NATO troops killed today, and nationalities to be identified later. I could tell you what the nationality of the 4 are. They're all American. Retired. Okay, 9 senior commanding generals have been fired by the Obama administration this year, leading to speculation by active and retired members of the military that a purge of its commanders is underway. Retired U.S. Army Major General Paul Vallely, an outspoken critic of the Obama administration, maybe that's why he's not on Fox anymore, notes how the White House fails to take action or investigate its own officials, but finds it easy to fire military commanders who have given their lives for their country. Vallely thinks he knows why the purge is happening. Obama will not purge a civilian or political appointee because they have bought into the communist ideology. I'm putting that in. He said Obama's ideology. The White House protects their own. That's why they stalled on the investigation into Fast and Furious. You know how many Mexicans died as a result of 2,200 guns going into Mexico to the narco-comunista drug lords? Drug dealers do business with everybody. Do you know how many have died? 70,000. Did you ever see some of the pictures of their victims? Well, there's a room in one town in Mexico where the arms are stored. There's another room where the legs are stored.
and there's another room where the torsos are stored, and the heads are out on the sidewalk. And that's what's going on in Mexico that the press is covering up. 2,200 weapons is enough to equip 4 regiments of terrorists. And there's a story about a woman who was a mayor, whose husband was the mayor, and he opposed the drug lords, and he was killed. And she was in the car with him, and she took a whole bunch of bullets. And she's got a colostomy. Well, now she doesn't have anything because they finally caught up with her later on, and they killed her in front of her daughter. And she begged them as she was dying, please don't hurt my daughter. How's that? Huh? You know, that woman would be a hero for life here in the United States if that was done to her here. But there she's just another page in the news for a day. Her name is Mario Santos, and the last name starts with a G, but I can't remember it. Garostasia or something like that. And they finally, she was taking her daughter to school, and they finally caught up with her. And they dragged her out of the car, and they shot her up. So, Eric Holder is responsible for the murder of anywhere between 50,000 and 70,000 Mexicans. But you'll never hear that story. You will never hear that story. Because you're living in the communist state of the United Soviet America. Yeah, unbelievable. So, another senior retired general told the Blaze on the condition of anonymity, because he still provides services to the government and fears possible retribution, that they're using the opportunity of the shrinkage of the military to get rid of people that don't agree with them or do not toe the party line, the Communist Party line. My friends, there's no more Democrat Party. The Democrat Party died with Harry Truman. All this time, it has been the Communist Party getting closer and closer to a coup d'etat. And when they're strong enough, you will know it, and you will feel their wrath. And if you were a useful idiot, you will be dispensed with. So, let's see what he says. Remember, as a former White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel said, never waste a crisis. And he went into Chicago when the crime rate went up. He's the mayor of Chicago. And there are more black deaths in Chicago from illegal handguns. And this mayor doesn't get the blame for one. He is jammed tight and jelly-free, protected by the communist press. For President Obama, the military of a once-feared superpower is an anachronistic vestige of an America whose exceptionalism and world leadership require repeated apologies. It must be gutted and fundamentally transformed into a force wearing gender-neutral headgear, only useful for holding the presidential umbrella when it rains. When I saw that photo, I was sick. I saw Idi Amin making four British State Department officials carry him around on a throne. It is to be his military and used only for his purposes. So there you go, my friends. And you know how demoralizing it is to be in the military at this time? You got hands tied behind your back. And you can go to jail. And I got to tell you, there are Americans in jail right now for fighting back. They're being punished for it. And I wish that somebody like the Thomas More Law Center or another pro-American group would ask to see a list of everybody that's rotting away in Fort Leavenworth and review their trials and their crimes, and see if we can get reductions in sentences and pardons. So having said that, I'll give you a tune. And let's see what we got here. Oh, there was an atheist on on Fox tonight, along with Bill Donahue from the Catholic League and a rabbi. And the atheist, his name was Silverstein. He said, there is no God. God is nothing. And I don't believe in anybody. And Bill said, you know, that would be nice if you were just saying that, but you're the same guy that puts up pictures of a crucified Christ at Christmas time. And with demeaning remarks attached to the billboard. He says, you don't believe in anybody, that's because you're a nobody. And it was pretty good. So let me give you a tune. Want to do a tribute to the Navy? You know the Navy where Obama went on safari and took an aircraft carrier out of action to go kill some lions and tigers? Well, he didn't do that. He just ran with the gazelles. But he needed an aircraft carrier for protection. Well, you know what goes along with an aircraft carrier? Oh, a couple of cruisers, a couple of battleships. They have battleships anymore. Definitely a submarine. He took a lot of people out of action to go play holiday. And tonight I'm watching a town in Kentucky, and they're all on food stamps. And they're all white, and they're waiting for a food package to come in at the end of the month when it gets real tight. And here I see Obama giving a $660 million computer contractor to a Canadian company who on the board of directors sits friends of the family. Yeah. And I'm reading a book called Throw Them All Out, How Politicians and Their Friends Get Rich Off of Insider Stock Tips, Land Deals, and Cronyism That Would Send the Rest of Us to Prison. The rule of thumb is only one term per termite. Get them out. Get them in. Get them out. It should be like serving your country for one tour of duty. These guys that build dynasties down in Washington do not have the interest of anybody but themselves at heart. So I'll give you a Back in the USA tune. Say a little prayer for the troops because Obama's not finished getting them killed. They're going to suffer the Mogadishu mile in the run out of Afghanistan. Let me stop that because something came to mind. Did you see Maliki from the Prime Minister of Iraq? Did you see him? He's in the United States. He's telling us, after he told us to take a walk and he made all kinds of deals with the Iranians, now he's over here telling us he needs more money or Iraq is going to go to Al-Qaeda. Oh, you know what? Go to Al-Qaeda. Tell them you need more money. Back in the USA.
I don't know if you caught the Ray Kelly, who's the police commissioner in New York. He was invited up to Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, to give a speech. And when he got there, it turned out to be an ambush. Imagine that. Ray Kelly, ambushed by communists. Poor Ray, lured into an ambush. Everyone knows you don't go to the pyromaniac state, the home of nightclub fires caused by drunks. Did you ever see them one day, the jerks did up there? They had a pyrotechnics on stage in a low ceiling, and the jerks lit it up in a rock and roll, man. And inside of about 20 seconds, the whole ceiling was on fire, and they trampled each other to get out, and a lot of people died. And the band said they were sorry. And they had a picture. It's a classic picture, if you ever see it. It was live jerks stacked like cordwood. They were all wedged in a doorway, and they were piled all the way up to the top of the doorway. And they hit the doorway so hard at trying to get out that they wedged themselves in. They couldn't get out. What a bunch of jerks. And guess who their governor is? Super jerk. He's the governor that banned Christmas trees. Yeah, that's the one who looks like Alfalfa in Our Gang. He's formerly a Rhino senator. Who voted, oh, by the way, you know what rhinos are now, don't you? Rhinos are now the Democrat Party. There is no more Democrat Party. I told you, it died with Harry Truman. The Democrat Party that claims to be the Democrat Party of today is the Communist Party. It is a Communist Party. They have no God. They kill kids. They vote to burn the flag. They meet all of the requirements of a communist group. And now they're going to put you on health care and take 16% of the action. Yes. And speaking of taking 16% of the action, I told you about Maliki coming in and saying he needs more military weapons and he needs more aid or Al-Qaeda is going to be running Iraq. I say, let him run it. Let him run it. Besides, Maliki is tied to Iran. He's a Shiite. He's tied to Iran. He's worried about Al-Qaeda because Al-Qaeda is Sunnah. Yes, and that's he's threatening us that he'll give the country, he'll give Iraq away if we don't protect him. Sorry, pal, you had your day. You stood on a podium with my president and you let a jerk throw a shoe at him. Yeah, that was probably a communist stunt. Yeah. Too bad Bush didn't throw his galosh back. But that's it. The money that, and we gave money to Pakistan. We gave them, I think, $1.8 billion to be our friend. Please be our friend. We'll give you more money. What they should have done with that $1.8 billion or whatever it was, they should have sent it to that town in Kentucky. And said, what happened? Did the EPA close you down? Well, you got a coal mine here that nobody's talking about? You want to go back to work in that coal mine? You go right ahead, and here's $1.8 billion to build scrubbers so we have clean coal because solar isn't working. Yeah, solar isn't working. So let me see where we are here. A poor Ray lured into an ambush. The governor is a Rhino governor who voted to burn the flag 40 days before 9/11. His name is Lincoln Chaffee. I call him Lincoln Chapstick. And anybody from Rhode Island is definitely no good. No good. Lincoln Chapstick, who hated Bush and let John Kerry hide his made-in-New Zealand yacht in Rhode Island. See how these hypocrites are? They're filthy rich. They make money in government.
Clinton was a governor making $25,000. When he retired, he was worth $197 million. He made a $100 million sales commission introducing a Canadian businessman to the president of Kazakhstan. And the president of Kazakhstan sold the Canadian businessman uranium. Now, who got that uranium? It went to Canada, and from Canada, Canada's got uranium. They don't need it. Oh, so that had to go somewhere. Where do you think it went? You think it maybe went to Iran? Yeah. $100 million bonus, man. I never seen a bonus that big. The only good contribution that you can get from Rhode Island is the Newport Jazz Festival. Brown University invited Ray Kelly to speak and then pulled an Occupy Wall Street communist stunt. A good thing he didn't have his police car. You know what occupiers do on camera to NYPD cars while doping up. They do poopies on the police cars live on TV. Yeah, can't we be civilized? The only thing missing from this phony civil rights demonstration was terrorists giving out candy. Brown University, founded in 1764 by Americans, is now dumbfounded by Bolsheviks with allowances in 2013. Every university has its thug minority who takes the place of the impotent faculty. Freedom of speech is only for communists and America haters. After they graduate, many will descend on New York City where they sip communist lattes and fill out complaint forms in police precincts. Most have usually been mugged by unsearched criminals who should have been frisked before sucker-punching suckers. You ever see them do that? They like to do the one pop drop. Could you tell me what time it is, white boy? Yeah. And they film it. They remind the cops that they have rights to be protected. Yeah, the same cops that they demonstrate against. Now they're demanding protection as an American citizen with rights, plus a ride to the emergency room. Usually the cops talk them out of filing charges, saying the criminal is, you know, he's just a ghetto child. And he was raised wrong, and he never had a break, and the libs then feel ashamed, and they drop the charges, and the cops save time and paperwork. And that's the name of that tune. And it is now being predicted crime will rise in New York City by 20% a year, thanks to Christine O'Donnell. Is that her name? No, not Christine O'Donnell. Christine Quinn. Christine O'Donnell is the lady from Delaware who the communists tried to destroy. She ran up against Thomas Carper, who voted to burn the flag, but he's the party of death's fair-haired boy. So, you know what they did to Christine O'Donnell? They said bad things about her. They Sarah Palin'd her. They said that she was bouncing checks and that she was a devil worshiper. And that she was behind on her mortgage payments. So after you smear somebody like that, who's going to believe anything she has to say? I read it in the paper. Which paper? Pravda? Izvestia? No, no. The Delaware sellout. Yeah, unbelievable. Okay. What do you want to do? You want to do a tune about a guy that was betrayed? Would you understand it if I played it? The guy's name was Roger Casement. And he was Irish. And Britain was oppressing the Irish. And he made a deal with the Germans for, I think, like 20,000 rifles. So that the Irish could fight back. But he was betrayed, you know, somebody pulled a Snowden on him. And does anybody remember the name of the private who was in the Defense Department that leaked 700,000 emails
because he was gay and he felt that gays were being mistreated by the United States government. Does anybody remember the name of that guy? Because he's rotting in jail and he's forgotten already. I don't remember his name. And I'm up to date. Sad, man. But Snowden, don't make no bones about it. Snowden's telling you he did this for the American people. He's a KGB agent. He is KGB all the way. He will be buried in the Kremlin wall for what he did, which is the highest honor that the Soviets can bestow on a fellow communist. I did it for the American people. They were being bamboozled. Yeah? You mean like the Ukrainians, 10 million of them, starved to death by Stalin and the communists? And what was their biggest crime? They wanted to keep what they were growing, a portion of the food that they were growing, and as a punishment, Stalin cordoned off the entire area and forced them to eat their children. But that's not in the history books. That wasn't in the New York Times when Stalin was the editor. No, that came out afterwards, after the damage was done. So the name of this tune is The Lonely Banner Strand. The Banner Strand is, a river in Ireland. And into that river was a German ship bringing German rifles. And the Brits had already been clued in because they had bugged the Irish telephones. No, I'm only kidding. But they were waiting in ambush for poor Roger. And you know what Roger had to do? Roger had to follow through. And they took him to England and they hung him. So, we're closing the show, and just keep in mind that Republicans are not on the same battlefield with Democrats. Democrats are very devious, and they lie, because communists never tell the truth. It's always a lie, they're always right, and the lie makes it right. The Republicans, they're walking around with their mouth open catching flies. It's terrible. It's really terrible. And the rhinos are Democrats in reserve. Just remember that. The rhinos are Democrats in reserve. When a dirty deed needs to be done, the the communists will call on the rhinos to serve their masters. And the only guys that are standing tall and fighting back are a handful of Tea Party members. And if it wasn't for the Tea Party, we would all be slaves today. You don't believe that because you've been... here's one. Here's one for you. A guy I know is going to his class in a New Jersey college, and he went out, he stepped out of his classroom during a break to stretch his legs, and he's walking back in, and he looks at another class that's in progress, and they're doing, points, that Microsoft, the PowerPoints, and he's reading what's up on the list, and it says the United States has to be destroyed from within. The United States has to pay for reparations. The United States is this. The only way we can overcome this problem. And I said, why didn't you find out what it was all about? He said, I had to go to my class. But he couldn't believe what he saw that was up there. And that's what's going on in your universities. To me, a guy tells me he's a college graduate. I say, well, show me your beads. And they're not rosary beads. They're from New Orleans. Yeah. He's a college graduate. Unless a guy is taking a real field like accounting. But if he's just in there for theatrics, forget about it, man. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And never forget, less than 1% of the country defends it. All the rest are living off of it. Have a nice night.